But how does that happen? How do these words comfort us? Yeah, especially verse 4. Verse 4 is, to me, the verse that really emphasizes how it benefits us. You know, during that moment of like, hey, you know, we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be fearful. Because Jehovah, the Lord, He's our shepherd. So yeah, you know, when it comes to Christianity, how we view God is absolutely critical to how we grow. Our view of Him is basically, it'll indicate how far we can go. If a person thinks God is limited, they're only going to go certain ways, only going to go certain points. But if an individual sees Him as all-powerful, what can that do for a person? You think David believed he was all-powerful? Yeah, when he faced Goliath, he surely believed that his God was all-powerful. That's part of what's going on in this psalm, is he had a certain perspective of who his God was, and because of that, he was able to do great things for God. Because of his faith, he could see exactly who Jehovah was. And then think about Paul in the New Testament. Who did he think God was? You know, he thought, Ephesians 3:20, that he could do far more abundantly than anything he asked or think according to the power that's at work within him. That was his view of God. There was no limit to his God. He would even say later on in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So what was his view of God? And so that's, you know, when you look at Psalm 23, it's about, you know, what do we see when we see God? Do we realize that He really does make us lie down in green pastures? Are we convinced of that reality? And that's a personal question for each of us to ask ourselves to enable us to actually grow properly. Do we realize that He leads us beside still waters? And we'll deal with the specificness of this psalm, because there's key words in there. You know, do we realize that He restores my soul, not that person's soul? Because we deal a lot with other people's souls. We deal a lot with, well, this person needs this and this person needs that. Well, David's not dealing with Saul's soul. He's not dealing with Jonathan's soul. He's saying He restores my soul. It's personal. Do we view Him that way? Is it personal? And then David, one thing I love about this psalm is the fact that he is getting very intimate with God in this psalm. He's saying, this is my shepherd. He's not saying he's the world's shepherd. It's true, he is the world's shepherd, no questioning that fact. But he's trying to get it to where this is between me and my God. And there is something that is very powerful about that fact when we can get to that point of saying, everyone in this room could be gone. And each of us could say, the Lord is my shepherd. And I bring that up, the reason I bring that up is because we deal a lot in the group study. We all know what John 3:16 says. But if there was just one sinner in this world and everyone was perfect, Jesus would have died for that one person. He would have. He would have died for a single brother. The book of Romans actually teaches us that. For one brother, Paul says, do you want to destroy for food that brother who, you know, the Lord died for? Singular. And David's dealing with that too. In the psalm. And so when we get to the personalization of our own faith, that intimacy where we just want Him every single day, all day, there's power in that life. It truly is. And so he starts off and says, the Lord is my shepherd. Now, how do we typically see lords? How would you describe a lord in our world?
Somebody who exerts authority over others.
In what way?
He directs that what they can and cannot do. He has a complex set of rules. He owns land, and other people are subject to his will and whim.
Yeah.
That's a perfect lord.
Yeah. Very much so. And what happens if you don't want to do what he says? How does he usually respond? Yeah, exactly. And so right here, David's saying, the Lord, he shepherds me. His view of the Lord, is a little different than the world's view of the Lord. You know, and there's no questioning the fact that he is authoritative. No disputing that fact. But if you went around this world and said, give me a word to describe Lord, how many of you think would choose shepherds? Probably not that many. They probably wouldn't describe him that way. But David saw him that way. It's what made David so unique. It's what made him able to do what he did. You know, and then you consider the fact that David was a shepherd. And that's something that I love about this psalm, is because David's basing this off of his own shepherding of his own sheep. He goes out and shepherds his sheep. All these things that he writes in this psalm were things he actually did on a regular basis as a shepherd. And then he says, oh, the Lord does the same thing for me. All the things I'm doing for these sheep, he's doing for me. And so he has a very unique perspective, and then he says, the Lord is my shepherd. And the statement he makes following that is, I shall not need, no, want. Want. What do you guys think of that? What are your thoughts on that statement of the fact that he's a shepherd, he's saying, I shall not want. Because we all have wants, right? There's things I want. David's saying, I shall not want. How do we fit that in? What do you think he's trying to get at? And they'll destroy whatever they have, too, which we'll get to in a few minutes in one of the points. I love your thoughts, man. That's fantastic. The theme that I want to emphasize in that is you brought up the whole first seek the kingdom and his righteousness. The first statement, in a way, qualifies the second statement. We shall not want when the Lord is our shepherd. When we make him who he's supposed to be, guess what? He's gracious to us. Doesn't mean we deserve it. That's not, you know, we don't deserve it. But when he's the Lord of our life, he gives us what we need, what we want. But here's the thing, when you get it, and he's the Lord, guess what? You're going to use it for his glory. So he's okay with you having it. Jesus would even say in the New Testament, ask anything in my name, and I'm going to give it to you. Why? Because he's our good shepherd. We've made him what he was supposed to be. And because of that, God wants us to receive something from him so that we can go use it for his glory. Tells us, you know, whatever you sow, you're going to reap. What if you sow a whole lot of righteousness? How do you think Abraham became so wealthy? Or Job? Because of what they sowed. They made the Lord shepherd. David too. They had a lot of stuff. Why? Because the Lord was the shepherd. They made him king. And so that there's a direct correlation between, you know, receiving from the Lord, you know, and our faithfulness in some regard to him. Now he gets into the specificnesses of, you know, how the Lord shepherds us. Says that he makes him lie down in green pastures. Now, green pastures is, for a sheep, was the ideal place to be. That's where they wanted to be. They wanted pastures that were green. They didn't want dried up grass. They wanted nice grass and they can graze in and feast on, and it needed to be a pasture, something large, and they could just eat as much as they wanted. It's like, wow. It's kind of like when I go to an all-you-can-eat buffet. Man, I'm looking around, I'm like, man, it's hard to choose. Like, let me grab some of that. Oh, you know, that's pretty nice. You know, it's fills me up. And then I'm like, after I get done with that first plate, what do? I'm going back for seconds. Might even get some different stuff this next time. And then if I'm really feeling good, I'm going to go get some thirds. And you know, there's always the dessert. And so it's kind of like that. You know, just spiritually. But he talks about he makes him lie down. Makes him lie down. Sheep are very skittish, guys. They're skittish animals. And there were four things that were necessary for a sheep to actually lie down. And the Lord provided those four things. Or a shepherd provided those four things. What do y'all think that is? What do you think would be necessary for a sheep to actually lie down in a green pasture? Yes, it's definitely one. If there's a wolf around, what happens? Imagine if you thought someone was going to break into your house. Are you going to need to go lay down? Or if there was like a tornado coming through and it was headed towards your place. You know? There might be a little skittishness there. And so there's that aspect. What else, guys? It's definitely one of them. Freedom from the predators.
If they lie down, I think that they appreciate their appetite.
Yes.
If you turn horses into a green pasture, they will family themselves because they'll sit there and eat and eat and eat. When you lie down, that means that the sheep are pacified with what they've had to eat while they lie down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
contentment is a part of that too. Like he said, it's definitely involved in that. That we've had our full. And so, yeah. And what about the other two guys? Y'all have any thoughts on what the final two are that are necessary? The other two are actually a little more hard. Those are the ones that people typically think of. I would probably include that in the food aspect of it. You know, they definitely needed to be nourished in regard to that, and you know, and not be famished and stuff. But good thought. Appreciate that.
Sheep don't do well alone. Is that part of it? They need other sheep.
They do need other sheep, but they need space. That's the other aspect. There's a reason they're in green pastures, so that they can have their own space. Imagine when you see them in their herd and they're all bunched up together, make it difficult to actually fall asleep. So there's, you know, they do need the companionship part of it, but they need space.
Like I like Jim, but I don't want Jim.
Yeah. I'm just saying, like, you know, how many of us are, if this whole auditorium was filled up, how many of us are going to be able to fall asleep if every chair was taken up and, you know, people were rubbing up against us and make it a little challenging, you know, to actually fall asleep. So that's a, you know, good thought. Now the fourth one, guys, they needed to be free from flies. Flies were a major problem for sheep. A lot of times, when we get to it, the anointing of oil deals with helping the sheep with flies. And I'll just mention this right now. There is a fly called the nose fly. Kind of get an idea of what it probably does. It goes up the nose and causes a problem. And so if there was too many flies bugging them, they couldn't lie down. And so, think about it. There's things that annoy us, irritate us. And if we're irritated, how easy is it for us to lie down and get some good rest? Kind of challenging for that to happen. The Lord is saying, I'm going to make sure that you have the ideal place of rest where you have everything you need and you're perfectly okay. So here's a little thought I have right here. It says, in order for a sheep to lie down, the shepherd needs to make sure that the sheep is fed, needs to remove all the insects and enemies, and make sure they have the proper space from other sheep. Without the shepherd, the sheep would never be at peace at the point where they would lie down and get rest. That goes on to the next verse, or the next statement. He leads me beside quiet waters. And this obviously, you know, waters, it brings refreshment. And this would be a reference to like a lake, a pond, or like a stream. This would not include whitewater rapids. This would not include a rough ocean. They needed waters that were quiet, because the loud noises would actually cause problems for the sheep. And there's evidence from that part of the world from a shepherd. A lot of my information comes from a book about a shepherd's perspective on Psalm 23. I believe his name is David Keller. It's a really good resource on Psalm 23. And he just says that, you know, those, when they get around loud waters, they get very nervous and they can actually fall right into the water because of their nervousness, out of fear. And so they needed quiet waters. You know, and obviously, I don't think I need to explain to you what the waters are a reference to in regard to our souls and the spiritual aspect of it. It's, you know, we need nourishment spiritually. That's why we're here tonight. And so you're right now, you're receiving water from the Lord, spiritually speaking, and we need waters that keep us you know, at peace. You know, I'm not going to say at ease necessarily, but more at peace, that feed our soul and provide nourishment for us. And so the Lord makes sure that we can receive that. Now, obviously, we all know the thought, you can lead a horse to water, but they still need to drink it. We still have that responsibility on our part. Here was the thing about shepherds. When they would go to an area, they would basically do like a survey. They would go out and find every source of water in that area. So that if they were at a certain location and they needed water based on the, you know, what was going on, the shepherd would know exactly how to get to that water or what the closest one was and what the best route was. That was one of the things about it. And that kind of gets into the point later on in the psalm about verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy. And that's the aspect of the shepherd a lot of times would go before the sheep and get everything ready. A part of that was figuring out where all the waters are at. So that when they brought the sheep in, there was no waste of time on making sure the sheep had what they needed, especially concerning quiet waters. Because the green pastures are pretty, you know, they're going to be in that area. He's going to find an area with a lot of green pastures where it's large. But quiet waters, you got to be able to locate them. And so he would figure out exactly where they're at. And that's kind of what the Lord does for us. You're a shepherd, my man. And so, you guys, and I've seen this, have, you know, you're trying to provide means to provide them with water. It's what a shepherd's supposed to do. I'm saying, hey, here's this, here's this, here's this, and saying, here's how to get your nourishment. It's what a shepherd's supposed to do. It's their task. Make sure that they have what they need. I believe that's part of the reason why you're looking for another shepherd. To add to the ability to provide for that, which you should do. And so you have that aspect of needing to know. I think we all have a personal responsibility in some regard to find, you know, to listen and say, okay, there's an opportunity here. Am I going to utilize it and go to that water and receive the nourishment that I need? And that's obviously an individual choice. There's even, you know, I'm not going to say that there wasn't times where I would show up and my mind was elsewhere. So did I receive the waters that I needed? Probably not. Or no. And so that's another thing. You could be led to the waters. Doesn't mean we're actually taking them in.
Actual physical sheep can destroy a water supply. That's one of my worst experiences. We didn't have sheep last year. They would, I hate to say this, they would foul their water. I'm not going to say how they would foul them. But it's one of those situations that you have to be on guard. You have to be really vigilant if they need to be moved around. And it may, to me, it may need to be a new water supply. But actually, I don't know. I'm not going to translate that spiritually for us tonight because I'm not ready to do that. But I do know that a lot of the comparison of sheep is not flattering.
No.
Thank you.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and that there's definitely a correlation between those two. But yeah, for the sheep to find the quiet waters, he needs to lead them there. He's the one that leads them to those quiet waters. And then he goes on and says, next, he restores my soul. Now this word for restore is defined as to bring back, lead back. And I just got a few verses from the New Testament that kind of echo this thought. Matthew 18, verse 12 says this, what do you think? If any man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go and search for that one that is straying? That's why I brought up at the beginning about the personalization of David and the Lord being a shepherd. If it's just one of us, he would come and get us. If it was just me, he would come and get me. And that needs to move us. That needs to stir us. That's when true faith and true growth happens. When we realize if everyone on planet Earth was faithful and I'm the only one that has gone astray, he's coming after me. Yeah. I've told people, I know for me personally, because of how I feel about my faith and what the Lord did for me personally, you know, I said it's personal between me and him because of what he did. He came after Kenny Garcia. Personal, that's how I see my faith. You know, when everyone brings up the world, I'm like, yeah, he did die for the world. No disputing that. I said, but no, he died for Kenny Garcia. That's who he died for. He came after Kenny Garcia for a reason. And so, you know, for others, that's one of the reasons why I love this psalm. When I read it, I'm just like, oh yeah, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. You know, that's a bold statement to make, but it's something that, you know, we need to be able to say with conviction and passion and say, wow, this is amazing that he would love me this much. And here's another verse. Luke 15, verse 4 says this, what man among you, if he has 100 sheep and has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open pasture and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? They're all going to do that. Every single one of them is going to do that. Because it's valuable. It is very, very valuable. Now, how many of us have heard of a statement, cast down sheep? This is the reason why David, as a shepherd, would go and find the 99. And one of the things that the shepherd would do is they would go out in the morning and they would count all their sheep. That's how they would know one's missing. They would check on them and say, okay, where are they at? Obviously, you know how that would correlate to you as a shepherd, finding out, okay, who's here, who's not here, and then saying, okay, where they been? You know, that's an important aspect of being a shepherd. If you aspire to be a shepherd, you know, in the Lord's church, pay attention to who's not here on Sundays. Who's not here on Wednesdays. Especially if they're regularly here and say, hey, where are they at? I wonder why they're not here. It doesn't mean we got to go, you know, get after them.
You end up knowing everybody's vacation schedule and you get jealous, is what happens.
No, you're right. Because you know where they sit. You know, you know, you we know the people's tendencies. And so I definitely, you know, agree with that. When you've been around a people long enough, I go to Vasa Gym down on 51st Memorial like six days a week. And I know when people show up. And when they're not there on the time they normally there, I'm always like, I wonder if they're coming today. That's one of my thoughts, just because I'm there so much and they're individuals I talk to and I'm building relationships with, seeking to bring them to the Lord. And so I know there was a guy today, his name is Leroy. I saw him today, and so I approached him. I said, hey, man, where you been? He's always there. It's clockwork. And he had got COVID, so, but he was fine. Yeah, no question.
The way David puts this, he restores my soul. A different sort of person could get angry with God. And they could say, God imperiled my soul by making this law. He's put me in jeopardy. And David, given to us as a man who understands God's heart. And because of that, I think this he restores my soul is so important for us to understand that God is not judgment. He's much more than that. He's the law defines our relationship with God. But God provides.
Oh yeah.
This restores is such a beautiful word because of that. But a lot of people who don't know God or have an atheist worldview of some kind, their whole concept is, well, God is the one who makes souls a danger in the first place, which is backwards. And David lines it out for us, and I really think that take nothing else, he restores my soul to you to take away.
Yeah, one, I'll finish with this, guys. The phrase cast down sheep, what would happen is the sheep would go away, and they would end up on their backs. That's what a cast down sheep is. And they could not, when they're on their backs and their legs are up, they couldn't restore themselves. They were stuck in that position. And one of two things would happen if the shepherd didn't get there quick enough. Obviously, if a predator comes along, what's going to happen to the sheep? It's over. But there's also the fact that the blood could rush to their heads and they could die. And so it was a necessity to go find that sheep. And here's the interesting part. Typically, the sheep that end up going astray, it was the same sheep over and over again. That was the norm. That it was just that they would go find, oh, that sheep's gone again. Like that, the shepherd probably comes out and says, oh, there's so-and-so. You know, he's gone. And he would know where he went. He would know his tendencies, and he would go and find him. And it didn't matter how many times he did it, he would always come back and do that. But if, like I said, guys, takeaway from this is it's critical that we see the Lord as individual. It's one of the things that I believe David's trying to get here. Obviously, if I get another chance to teach, I can continue. My mindset is always, I would rather take my time and dig into these verses and truly get some meat out of them rather than rushing through the text. You know, and so make them personal. See them as your shepherds. Thank you, guys.